The text selected for our meditation today is Psalm 100. And I would ask that you would now rise and then join me in reading together this psalm. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. This is our text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. As we heard in chapel on Monday, this week draws our attention to the importance of singing in the church. And it's fitting that we conclude this week's theme with this psalm. Psalm 100 follows a block of psalms that are designed as anthems that celebrate the theme, "The Lord reigns, sing praises to the Lord." This psalm serves as the climactic finale to that series of royal psalms. The Lutheran Church from the very beginning has been called the singing church. Luther himself had high esteem for liturgical music and church hymns. A number of them that continue to be sung today are well known, both in our circles and beyond. Luther said, "Music is an outstanding gift of God, and next to theology." Throughout Bethany's history, song has been an integral, consistent part of our corporate worship, as we've heard in the fine music done by the choir and the robust singing of this assembly today alone. But why? Why does the church sing? This psalm gives us several clear images to answer this. First, we're drawn to the image of God as the creator. In Genesis, we read how God created a perfect world. We read repeatedly that following the action of his creative word included the phrase, "And God saw that it was good." In fact, after the creative action on the sixth day, we read, "God saw all that he made, and it was very good." This alone would be an excellent reason for us to sing. It is indeed he who made us. It is his creative energy that gives us everything that we are and everything that we have. Even today, we are his handiwork, not ourselves. Adam and Eve found out immediately what happened when they relied on themselves. As a result, they and subsequently all humanity became corrupted by sin. Even after the Lord wiped out every living thing on the face of the earth by the flood, leaving only Noah, his immediate family, and the animals in the ark, God emphasized that human nature was sinful at its core. While he promised to Noah to never again destroy all living creatures, God let Noah know that it wasn't because of Noah's, or now our, good qualities that he wouldn't repeat this destruction, since every inclination of his heart, that is man's, is evil from his youth. We don't have to look too far to see it in ourselves, do we? Bickering with roommates or friends, lusting after something or someone, the list goes on and on. We look around us, our friends, neighbors, family, everywhere we look. And if this is where it all ended, our singing would certainly not be of joy and praise, but certainly of mourning and despair. But thankfully, God, however, had a clear plan in mind to bring us back to him in spite of ourselves. The next image from our text this morning brings us into focus. We are his people. It's one thing to be part of creation, but now he draws us much more closely by identifying us as being his people. This began already in the garden when he promised Adam and Eve that a Savior would come from them. God's plan continued through Abraham as he set him apart and confirmed that he had a special plan for him and his offspring. Then God led his people out of Egypt, again setting his people apart, and the plan continued to unfold through the prophets and leaders of his people, like King David, and finally was brought to fruition with the birth of his Son, our Savior Jesus. Looking back, we can clearly see that we are indeed God's people, which is not an ethnic identity, but an identification with God himself. And this is through Christ's perfect sacrifice. This is part of the encouragement we receive every time we gather for worship, and it is yet another good reason to sing praises to the Lord. The imagery becomes even more intimate in our text. We read that we are the sheep of his pasture. The Old Testament believers understood this well. The 23rd Psalm, which is so familiar to us, was certainly familiar to them. Jesus made it crystal clear that he was the ultimate good shepherd when he told the Pharisees, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then he connected that image to that of being a part of his people when he said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." This special relationship comes from being not only his creation, but also his people, is expanded in the final verse of this psalm. First, we see that the Lord is good. This is true in a general way, but one sees one example after another in Scripture, how certainly he has been good to those who trust in him as their Savior. And we see it every day in our lives. Secondly, his love endures forever. It is not some fleeting thing. It endures forever. And then finally, no matter what, how we feel, no matter what we've done, he continues to love us. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He doesn't give up on us, regardless of our circumstances. How can you not be jubilant and shout and sing for joy? These are the reasons that we worship the Lord with gladness. The book of Hebrews encourages us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but to exhort one another, so much the more as we see the day, that is the day of judgment, approaching. Likewise, the Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Colossians, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." So no matter where you go, from here after the academic year comes to a close, as graduates looking for employment or additional education, or as soon-to-be retirees planning the next adventure, or planning what you're going to do over summer break, this psalm reminds us of how great our God is to each and every one of us, and adds the exclamation point to that by encouraging us to worship together and to express our joyful praise, acknowledging him as the King. To God alone be the glory. Please rise for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the conclusion of this academic year, we thank you for the numerous blessings of body, soul, and mind which you have given to us. May the fruits of this Christ-centered education be evident in the lives of your faithful, that we may carry out the important tasks of our various vocations. We also thank you today for the gifts of music and worship, and for the religious freedoms we presently enjoy in this land. Continue to bless and increase your church and preserve us individually in this faith through use of your word and sacrament. We pray it all in the name of your Son, our Lord. Amen. Thank you.